Got a quick question. Who has been here since the very first lesson this weekend? All right, quite a few. And who's been here for the bulk of the lessons this weekend? Awesome. What are some of the things that we learned so far? You didn't think I was going to ask that. You can't just raise your hand for that one. Can anybody remember the things? I know it's a afternoon. Everybody's tired. It's kind of warm in here, so it's perfect napping weather. Can you remember anything? I'm going to chalk that up. I heard somebody say yes. So I'm going to say, yes, you do, but you don't want to say. You think about some of the things that we've gone through over just the last couple of days and some of the lessons that various speakers have presented. How about Andy? Do you remember Andy Baker's lesson? He's the only one so far that's had a visual presentation. Okay, yeah, now you remember Andy's lesson. So Andy had a lesson on defining spiritual growth. And you look at the title on the screen here, More Than a Feeling. So you have this idea of more than a feeling, and it's all about spiritual growth. So what do you think that means? It's okay to talk. You won't be recorded. Only I will be. Would you say that spiritual growth is more than a feeling? What does it mean when we talk about spiritual growth? What do we mean? I'll wait.
Growing in knowledge and wisdom.
Growing in knowledge and wisdom, okay. We have like three or four over here and then the rest over here, so I'm looking back and forth. It's a really wide room. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians. At the beginning of 2 Thessalonians, Paul makes a statement that's curious. And I want to ask a question, and I hope that I get a response. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Notice beginning in verse 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. Why does Paul give thanks to God the Father for the brethren at Thessalonica? The answer is in verse 3. Because their faith is growing. How is it growing?
Exceedingly.
Abundantly. Your faith is growing a lot. In fact, if you are one of the people that are eventually going to really like to look at other languages, the word is a single word. It means hyper growth. We know what the word hyper means. Hyperactive. For nerds, hyperspace. We all know what hyper means. It's fast, it's abundant, it's there, and he is amazed that they have had so much growth in really what is a short amount of time. He says, we're amazed, we thank God because your faith is growing abundantly in what else? Still in the same verse. He's so thankful in verse 3 for their faith and their love for one another is increasing. They have a faith that is encouraging and a love that is increasing. They have a faith that is growing and a love that is growing. And then notice verse 4, therefore we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and afflictions that you are enduring. Do you have another word for steadfastness?
Patience.
For your patience and for all your afflictions that you're enduring, that you're going through, that you're holding on. Now, I want to just give a little bit of a setup here. 2 Thessalonians isn't written all that long after 1 Thessalonians. In fact, it could have very well been the same year that Paul wrote this letter, or within a year. And he hasn't seen them for some time, and he writes to them in 1 Thessalonians about various things, to encourage them to greater faithfulness, to encourage them to grow. And then less than a year later, he says, I'm amazed that you've grown. I'm amazed that your faith has grown exceedingly, that your love for one another is increasing, and that you continue to endure and grow in patience. He writes 1 Thessalonians just a few months before to some Christians that aren't very old at all. What's been encouraged and mentioned in just about every lesson that I've heard this weekend is that spiritual growth has its foundation in God's Word. And that's absolutely true. You think about how Paul would go about to various places and preach, and 1 Thessalonians, there is not any kind of difference at all. Look at some of the ways. Look at 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be exploring this book, 1 Thessalonians, for our time in here. Notice 1 Thessalonians verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, beloved by God, that He has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. He describes the message that He preached to them as gospel, as words that came with power. The message is described in 1 Thessalonians 2 as the gospel of God and the word of God. It's described as instructions through the Lord Jesus. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Over and over again, the message is described as something that doesn't have a human source. It's not just the best best-selling book on how to feel better or to become smart or anything like that. He describes it as the very Word of God. That's the foundation. And you have this growth that's going on in 2 Thessalonians that he is so amazed about, in their faith, in their love, and their hope. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And again read verse 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know 1 Corinthians 13 in here, right? We at least know the song. How's the chapter end? And now abide what? I know you know the answer. I know a lot of you. And now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Yeah, everyone's smiling. You all knew it. You just don't want to talk. You are just adamant that you're not going to say anything at all. We'll see who wins this fight by the end. So you have faith, hope, and love is something that Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 says is going to abide. He says love is the greatest of these. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he is excited. He is so amazed at the hyper-growth spurt that these Christians have had. By the way, these Christians, how old were they? How long had they been Christians? Anybody know? Want to take a guess? Say that again. They were very young. That's a really good guess. It was pretty close to that. They weren't very old at all. Paul had preached the gospel to them. He had left them and he sent a letter back. And then, just a few months later, he sends a second letter. And so he is amazed at their growth. So the question is it possible to grow spiritually quickly? Yes, it might not be the way that you think. But the Thessalonians did it. But they didn't stop when Paul wrote the second Thessalonians, and we'll talk about that if we have time. But you have this labor of love, this steadfastness of hope, this work of faith. Look at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven who He raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. So what are the three things that we've noticed? Work of faith, labor of steadfastness of. Do you suppose it was a work of faith to turn from idols? Do you suppose it's a labor of love to serve the living God? And do you suppose that it's a steadfastness of hope to wait for Jesus to return, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come? When you start going through the book, you're going to find faith and work and work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope all over the place. Just over and over again, he's going to mention these in very practical, easy aspects. So we talked about studying God's Word, and that's absolutely true. You have to have that foundation. Think about this as far as spiritual growth is concerned. Would it be possible to grow spiritually without God? No. Because God's the one who, number one, provided His Word. He provided His Son. He provides a way of communication through prayer, through singing. Without God, you can't grow spiritually. But it's also something that's a natural process in this sense. Galatians 5:21 through 23 speaks of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You learn that from the song. But it's not called the works of the Spirit like it is the works of the flesh that are mentioned in that section. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that is a natural outgrowth that should come as living as a Christian. These Thessalonians had it. So you have work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope in chapter 1. Notice chapter 2 and verse 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins and the wrath that has come upon them at last. When they received the Word of God, when they received the Gospel, what was going on? What was going on?
Persecution.
Thank you so much, Scout. I appreciate it. Persecution. You think about this. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. How? For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did the Jews. What did they do? They killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets. When they received the message that Paul and his co-workers were giving to them, it was in the midst of intense persecution. In fact, you look at chapter 2, the very beginning, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi," you can read about this in the book, "as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much," what? "Conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." Think about this for just a moment. Paul and his fellow workers were there teaching them the gospel. They had come from a place that had persecuted them to go to a new place to teach the gospel, and people would persecute them there as well. What does it mean to be persecuted?
I'm waiting for an answer and it can't come from this side. We've got 25 minutes. What's it mean to be persecuted?
Killed.
Put in prison. Ridiculed. All because of your religious belief. You think about it. Do you experience persecution today?
It doesn't seem like we do, in the same way, at least, that the first century did. And we can be so thankful to God for that. That right now we're in a place that's pretty safe. I mean, except for when you try to dangle each other off of the balcony like they were mentioning yesterday. This is a pretty safe place. But for the Thessalonians, it was such a dangerous thing to believe that Christ had risen from the dead that if certain people found out, they could be killed. There's some places like that even still today in the world. But maybe some of you have experienced, at least in a small way, with your friends at school when you refuse to go along with something you just know is wrong. And they'll tease you and laugh at you and do whatever to try to make you become involved in what they want to do. The Thessalonians had a proper foundation in God's Word. They looked at it as His Word. But they also had a zealous devotion that even in the midst of intense persecution, even in the midst of difficulty and strife and frustration, even in the midst where some of them were dying because they believed in Christ, they wouldn't give up. What's Galatians 2:20 say? That's a song that's sometimes sung. I am crucified with Christ. What's the rest of it say? I'll sit down again. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. But it's not me that's living anymore, it's Christ that's living in me. And the life that I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, the Thessalonians decided that it was more important to follow Christ than to go with the crowd. And in zealous devotion, even in the midst of persecution, it's kind of an interesting historical thing. They were worried about their loved ones who had died in the Lord. That's part of why Paul would write them. But he encourages them and says, that's not the end for them and it's not for you. But they're willing to suffer. They're willing to go through difficulty. All for the sake of following Christ. But not only do they have this foundation resting on God's Word, and not only do they have this zealous devotion for God that even in the midst of difficulty and frustration and persecution and obstacles, but they realized that they had a special purpose. When you read 1 Thessalonians over and over again, you see snippets of things that Paul would tell them to do. But especially in chapter 4, he gets into this a lot. Notice chapter 4 and verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God just as you were doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. So this is what God wants you to do. He says this is your sanctification. This is your sanctified purpose. What does that word sanctified mean? That's a really religious word. Sanctified. Set apart. That's a good, simple, two-word definition. Anybody have anything to add to that? Trent, what's the Greek word there?
I guess hagios, but not sure.
Holy. Hagios. I gave him pop quiz. He passed easily. Sanctified. Holy. This is your separate, special purpose from God. And he says that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in a passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. And we told you beforehand and solemnly warn you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. They have a sanctified purpose, a holy way of living. But it doesn't just stop there. If you look in chapter 5 and verse 12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He starts giving just a whole bunch of things one after another. And it has to deal with our relationship, for example, to the elders. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Think about that, the respect that we're supposed to have for the shepherds of the congregation. To appreciate them, to know them and what they do as they're looking out for our souls. And to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. No fighting. It's pretty easy, right? But it's more than just this idea of no fighting. It's to be unified. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. What does it mean to be idle? It's what you're doing right now, not answering my questions. What does it mean to be idle? Yes. That's a really good way to put it, to be a spectator, to just stand by and watch. You had some people, it was a problem in 1 Thessalonians, and it's an even bigger problem, it seems, in 2 Thessalonians, that there were some people that decided not to work. And Paul says, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. What does it mean to be faint-hearted? Anyone have a different word? Encourage the faint-hearted. In verse 14, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. The feeble-minded. Those who are really struggling. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Why was Paul so amazed at the growth that these Christians experienced? It seems like they followed some of the things that Paul told them to do. See that no one repays evil for evil. Rejoice always, verse 16. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, or give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He would talk about not despising prophecies. That would be the word of God that was spoken to them. He would say to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. Make sure that what is being done, make sure that what is being said, make sure that what you are doing is what God would have you to do. It's pretty simple. Abstain from every form of evil, verse 22. He ends by asking for a prayer for them. And saying, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. So I asked the question at the beginning, why is it that Paul was amazed and encouraged at the growth these Christians experienced? Yeah. They weren't Christians for very long. But they dedicated themselves to the Lord through Paul's instructions. And they grew. See, they understood that their purpose, that the will of God in Christ Jesus for them, was to be a very different people than who they had been before and what the rest of the world was. The title of the lesson is More Than a Feeling. And I think it's obvious to every person in here that spiritual growth isn't just this fuzzy feeling you get when you're hanging out at camp or at a retreat or something like a Rise, or when you're together with your friends just singing. Now, does that mean that feelings aren't involved? No. It's hard to be thankful if you don't feel thankful, isn't it? It's hard to rejoice always if you don't feel like rejoicing. But understand that the Thessalonians grew not because of some weird spiritualness that sometimes folks would think about, or something that would happen in their own minds. But their growth was due to God and His foundation, the foundation in His Word. It was due to their zealous devotion to Him, even in the midst of difficulty. And it was because they understood that they had a sanctified purpose in living for Him. It is 3:35. At about 3:40, there is going to be somebody standing up in the auditorium to hint to the speaker in there that it's about time to stop. I'm going to let you out 5 minutes before they do that, but please be quiet when you head that way. Danley, you can go ahead and switch it to the next picture here. We're going to be getting ready in here for supper. So if you could just make sure you grab all of your stuff. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for not making me sit on the floor too long. And I hope that this has been encouraging to you to grow in your faith and your love and your hope.